Coming up on today's programme, what does the next government need to do for children? What are the plans to clear waiting lists for assessments and therapies for children with additional needs? How would parties deliver on promises to radically reduce childcare costs? How will staffing gaps in children's mental health care be plugged? Agus Colwyn na Moonshori, what will solve the annual struggle for principals to fill special education and mainstream teaching roles? Good afternoon and welcome to Saturday with Colm O'Mungon. You can listen to us live on the RTE radio app if you have to get up and move away from the radio or go out for a walk, or you can listen to us, you can watch us live indeed on the RTE News channel if you're staying put and you want to see us in all our technical or glory. Now let me introduce you to our political panel this week. They're Fianna Fáil's Norma Foley, she's running in Kerry and she's in our studio in Ballinagall. The Green Party's Roderick O'Gorman, who's running in Dublin West. Fine Gael's Neil Richmond, who's running in Dublin Rathdown. The Social Democrats' Gary Gannon, who's running in Dublin Central. Independent Violet Ann Wynne, who's running in Clare. Excuse me. Sinn Féin's Claire Curran, running in Roscommon Galway. She's in our Athlone studio, and we'll hear from them in a moment. But first, with the country obviously going to the polls next Friday, I asked people in Limerick City what they'd like to see the next government do for children.
I live in an area where there's nothing to do for them, and there's no play areas and nothing like that.
So you'd like to see more facilities, more youth services for kids?
Yeah, something to do for them, like even a games room or something. There's nothing for them to do.
Well, for children in secondary school, I'd love for them to kind of relook at the Leaving Cert and just see if they can remodel and maybe make it more continuous assessment-based rather than a CAO points-based system.
I feel like it's a bit silly with the phones, putting them in the pouches, because like, if you have an emergency at school or something, you want to ring your parents, like you can't with your phone in the pouch. So like, if you want to go to the bathroom or something and ring your mother, if you're having a panic attack or something, it's just like silly, really, I think.
Well, I would like actually more creches and state-run creches. They work very well, certainly for working people. That's number one. Also, children with disability, that they should be better looked after.
I'd like to see a safer country for our children, to be honest. Like, less unvetted men coming into our country would be something that it shouldn't be allowed. Donald Trump is doing it in America and it should be happening here.
Better
so they should take advice from him and let that happen here.
And better childcare for younger kind of kids, so single mothers can be employed with more work and stuff as well. That would be better. More income then for social welfare people that are lone parents would be great.
I think that kids who are homeless and going through a rough time, the government should try help them out and get them funding and the parents funding for them to like get some food and shelter and something nice and warm and stuff like that kind of.
Actually, we have like big problem about the creches. We can't like secure any spot like in any creche, especially like in Limerick. So we would love like to see like more initiatives like concerning childcare. Yeah.
For me at home anyway, personally, it's special needs. Like I don't see enough done. I have a non-verbal son diagnosed at 18 months, he's now 7, never once had a speech and language ever given by the state, other than what I pay through the nose for, we're forgotten about. I was lucky enough to have friends to tell us about even the tax breaks and stuff like that, filling out forms, everything is so complicated. Nobody's there to walk you through it. Like the only people like autistic parents seem to have help with is other people who've been in the same situation longer than you, and they can kind of help you through. But no one's talking about like the exhausted parents who have no voice. Like nobody's doing it to help us. Like nobody's there to say like, let's do this for you. Nobody's actually done anything. None.
All right, let's start those people speaking to me in Limerick City. Now, let's start with the issue raised by that Limerick father at the end of the Vox Pop, disability, because today the Taoiseach has been apologising after an interaction with a disability services worker. We'll get to that apology in a moment, but apologies for the sound quality on this, but let's hear that interaction between the Taoiseach and a Section 39 worker in Kanturk, County Cork.
The disability sector is a joke. You've done nothing for us. Our people are suffering. I'm very passionate about my job.
Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about disability too.
But there's been no mention in the budget whatsoever. You ignore them, you ignore the carers.
That's not true to say that.
Yes, you do. It has not been mentioned. Keep shaking hands, pretend you're a good man. You're not a good man.
Okay, well, if you don't think I'm a
good man. Because you don't care about
shame. Well, that's the exchange in Kanturk yesterday. Here's the Taoiseach's apology today.
I was in Kanturk last night at the end of a very long day, and I was talking to a woman who works in a Section 39 disability organisation, and she was raising issues with me, and I want to say I didn't give her the time that I should have given her, and I feel really bad about that because it's not who I am. It's not what makes me tick. I really, really, really passionately believe in disability services. So I do hope to be able to have a longer conversation with her.
And that was, as I say, the Taoiseach apologising on social media channels. Now, still with us are Fianna Fáil's Norma Foley running in Kerry from our Ballina Ngall studio, the Green Party's Roderick O'Gorman running in Dublin West, Fine Gael's Neil Richmond running in Dublin Rathdown, the Social Democrats' Gary Gannon in Dublin Central,
Tate
Independent
McCray.
Violet Anne Wynne running in Clare, and Sinn Féin's Claire Curran running in Roscommon Galway, who is in our Athlone studio. Neil Richmond, to you first. The woman in Kanturk who said that the disability area was ignored. She's entitled to feel that she's right and the Taoiseach's wrong, isn't she, when there's 10,000 children awaiting an assessment and 110,000 children waiting on essential therapies.
Well, I think the first thing I would like to say, and I'll get to your question in 2 seconds, is Simon's spoken to that lady this morning. They've agreed to meet and agreed to actually discuss what more needs to be done on foot of a budget where we've increased, obviously, the carers grant, increased the payments and a manifesto commitment to remove the means test, as well as reviewing the pay and salary going to Section 39 workers, as well as real concrete measures to build on the work to bring down waiting lists. I think that'll be a really productive meeting. And anyone who knows Simon Harrison, I'd argue I'd know him better than most, knows that this is the very reason he got into politics as a 14-year-old, to get additional services for his brother in Greystones. He's brought that to the fore every opportunity, be it on a county council, as the chair of the Disabilities Committee, or indeed now as Taoiseach of our country.
All right, but on the substantive issue, I mean, that father in Limerick, that woman in Kanturk, these are the people who get up earliest in the morning. In the case of parents, they're up multiple times during the night. They're up before everybody else. They're under serious pressure, and you look at those waiting lists, and what do you tell them?
Well, firstly, we acknowledge, of course, the waiting lists are too long. They're shorter than they were, but they need to come down. And we actually have a concrete plan to continue the work to bring them down. Firstly, investing first and foremost in the places in third level education to get the therapists, the psychologists, everyone that's needed available, but also to meet the cost of those, like that gentleman who said there, who had to go to get a private assessment to cover that cost. We need to build up the sheer volume of ability that are in the system that can meet the needs, not just of these parents, but crucially their children, to make sure that they get the level of service, the level of education that they deserve.
Okay. Claire Curran, to you and this, the woman in Kanturk and the father in Limerick that we've heard from there. Let's start with the woman in Kanturk there. Neil Richmond says that Taoiseach is going to have a longer, more substantive interaction with that woman. Does that close the matter as far as you're concerned?
Well, look, I saw the video and the interaction. I think it's you know, we need to listen to people and people that are struggling and that have obviously expertise. She's obviously working in the disability sector herself. She's at the coal face. These are the very people that we need to listen to. And sometimes it's not about answering back or talking back. It's about listening and engaging. These are the people that are doing the job day in, day out. Anyone in any disability role in this state, give it everything. There's certain not in it for the money. They're there, they're at the coalface, they're providing essential supports to families and to our most vulnerable citizens. So I think the lesson here is we have to listen. There are clearly major issues. An awful lot of people are struggling to get supports. Many, many children have been failed and continue to be failed in this state when it comes to disability services. And I think it's a great shame that Simon Harris didn't stop and listen rather than talking back. He should have listened.
Okay, the woman has been speaking to the Irish Times. She says that her CEO rang her. She's been backed 1,000%. That came from her CEO, Michael Hegarty. She works in a Section 39 organisation, St. Joseph's Foundation. But I suppose, Roderick O'Gorman, there are new figures obtained by the Irish Times. They're published today in the paper. It shows that 13,000 children are waiting for an initial contact from disability services, and of those, 9,000 are waiting more than 12 months. That sounds very much like ignored.
It's those figures are far too high, and that's why the focus since responsibility for disability moved to my department earlier last year has been on investment, reform and recruitment of staff, because ultimately, until we can fully staff our children's disability network teams across the country, we're not going to be able to undertake those assessments. We're not going to be able to deliver those therapies. And that's why the measures this year, growing the number of places in university courses for occupational therapists, for speech and language therapists, is so important. That's why the initiative to bring staff home by the HSE, a recruitment campaign dedicated solely towards our children's disability network teams to fill in those gaps so we can have those initiatives. But in the short term, the fund, and Neil mentioned it earlier on, the CARAS fund, that initial fund to support parents who have been waiting longest for assessments, to use private sector therapists to get their assessment of need. That's an emergency intervention, but it is a one that has delivered over 1,800 assessments in the course of this
year. But they are still stubbornly high, aren't they? They remain above 10,000 despite that intervention. Mm-hmm. And the HSE is missing 375 staff to conduct assessment of needs that might make a structural difference to that.
As a country, we've been training the same number of speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, psychologists for the last 20 years. But the level of need, whether it's in children's services, whether it's in adults, whether it's in older people's services, has continued to grow. So that's why that focus on growing the number of health and social care professionals that we have, that we're training and that we can keep in our system, is so important. And one of the initiatives my party are looking at in our manifesto is that real focus on bringing people back home, bringing people who have those skills but have decided to work in the US or the UK or in Australia, bring them home through our IDA for Skills initiative, give them attractive relocation packages, encourage them solely into those children's disability network teams.
And are you looking at just the implications of that? If you're bringing them home and if you're employing them in the HSE and if you're providing incentives, are you looking for additional pay and conditions that would have knock-on effects throughout the public service?
We're looking at recruitment packages to actually make it attractive for them to come home. But the pay issue is important, and it was raised by that lady speaking to the Taoiseach yesterday. We secured a new pay agreement with Section 39 organisations last year, and there is a current negotiations going on to roll that forward. So Section 39 workers are at parity with those working in the public service, in the HSE, and that's really important for recruitment and retention.
Violet Ann Wynne, just hearing what was being said on the streets in Limerick, but specifically that interaction between the Taoiseach and that woman in Kanturk, Charlotte Fallon, by the way, is her name. The issue of people feeling ignored, if you were to be elected and if you were to support a government or form part of the next government, what would your red line be in order to change that?
In disability. Well, I think for me, and the whole experience that I've had now over the last 4 and whatever months it's been, engagement has been a major issue for those people with disabilities, and engagement with DPOs has also been an issue. So for me, I suppose ensuring that they have their voices at the table would be beneficial. And I think the Taoiseach was right to apologise to that lady, and I think it was unfortunate that in a moment of canvassing and electioneering, he almost dismissed her very real issue that she had and she wanted to raise, and it was very important to her. But going back to assessment of needs, this has been an issue that I've been trying to raise as much as possible in the Dáil Chamber. For example, in Clare, we have 76 that are currently waiting longer than the 6 month statutory period for their assessment of needs, and we have 17 that are waiting anywhere between 30 and 36 months. Like, that's a huge length of time to be waiting, and that's only for the assessment of need. That doesn't guarantee intervention, but it's absolutely necessary and important, and that's what parents are saying to me. You know, they're so focused on getting that relevant assessment of need because they feel it will ensure the appropriate services and supports that will be put in place then for them, and they feel that they're at a wall until they get that necessary assessment of need. And I know that it was mentioned that there were was this idea of expanding the NTPF to include educational...
That's the National Treatment Purchase Fund, whereby capacity in the private sector could be bought for, in order to alleviate waiting lists in the public sector.
Absolutely. And, you know, and even maybe to cover psychological reports, screening reports, a whole plethora of services and assessments maybe that are needed. But Donnelly did say that it would be quite a departure. So it kind of almost dismissed that pathway. So I was hoping maybe that there might be a bit of clarity around that, because, I mean, I think whatever can be done should be done. And also we need something that will impact people now.
OK. Norma Foley, to you, the issue of providing services to people with disability, I'll get to you on that at the moment. But the apology by the Taoiseach to that woman in Kanturk, first of all, Charlotte Fallon, do you welcome it?
Yes, indeed. I think the Taoiseach himself concedes that it was entirely inappropriate. It wasn't acceptable. I think from Charlotte you could hear the frustration and the disappointment at I suppose where she finds herself in the system. And I do want to say around the whole Section 39, like our system couldn't function without the great work that is being done by the Section 39 workers.
Well, she says they're losing really good workers. She feels that Section 39 organisations, which are grant funded independent providers or services, are losing really good workers. Her words, not mine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear what she's saying, and I do think it's important that we listen and we hear. And so I can say, look, there has been some improvement. An 8% pay increase was secured or achieved at the WRC in 2023. And I think there is something like... €75 million has been paid out thus far for 407 organisations, but there's other organisations still to come through the system.
Can I put something else to you? It's actually about your own party leader and delivery in the area of disability. The Micheál Martin said in the next government, on day one, he would establish a new directorate in the Department of Taoiseach to coordinate activity on this across government. He talked about resistance politically from department heads who wanted to do things differently when it came to transferring expertise from community disability network teams back into schools. Mm-hmm. And he said that a commitment was given. I'll give you the exact line. We got a commitment to expand therapists into schools from the HSE. The HSE didn't deliver on that bottom line. Now, the line minister is a Fianna Fáil minister, Stephen Donnelly. So the HSE didn't deliver. The buck stops with the Minister for Health. And when it comes to driving through action with department heads, surely that's a matter of political will and political drive. So why isn't responsibility being taken for this?
Can I just say two things just in advance of that now, because I do want to answer Charlotte in terms of what Fianna Fáil is committing to doing going forward. There's an absolute commitment from Fianna Fáil to achieve pay parity for Section 39 workers. That's in our manifesto, in conjunction with the public sector. And secondly, and very, very importantly, because I deal with the Section 38, 39 organisations all the time, Fianna Fáil are giving a commitment to implement a disability service sustainability process for Section 39 and 38 organisations.
I'm asking you about delivery.
Specifically,
So the Taoiseach has said there was resistance politically from department heads. I'm asking you why people would have faith in him, the Taoiseach, why would people have faith in him to deliver when that resistance effectively blocked him, in his own words? Resistance there and in the HSE, and Fianna Fáil has the line minister in the Department of Health?
Well, in actual fact, the provision of therapies going back into the schools falls under the Department of Children, and I want to acknowledge the work that has been done in terms of piloting in conjunction with Roderick.
So it's not his fault, it's Roderick O'Gorman's fault.
Want to be 100% clear.
Okay, now, I do have to get a response for that, because you said it's not Stephen Donnelly's fault. I'll bring Gary Gannon in a minute. I just want to go and get Roderick O'Gorman's response to that, and I'll come back to you.
During the course of this year, there was a discussion at Cabinet about how do we get interventions in special schools, get therapists back into the special schools as quickly as possible. And there were two routes. One was to go using the NCSE, but that couldn't be delivered until September 2025.
The National Council on Special Education.
The HSE was able to provide some interventions this September. Those are being rolled out. I want to see them at a greater scale. but I believed it was important that we get interventions as quickly as possible rather than leaving it till September 2025.
Okay.
Colm, could I just intervene on that one now? And I want to say it's an absolute red line issue for Fianna Fáil. We're 100% committed to the therapies must be provided in our schools. And what we've actually said is that we will begin in the special schools, we'll move to the special classes, and we will advance from that. The current system that exists is not serving the young people, the children themselves. It is not serving their families. They are not being served by the facility that's been provided in the community.
It's a red line in year five of government, is it?
It is an absolute commitment, a red line issue for us that the therapies will be provided in school. It is best for the children. It is best for their families.
I need to bring Gary Gannon in this. Gary Gannon, firstly, I suppose, do you welcome the apology that was given by the Taoiseach to Charlotte Fallon from St. Joseph's Foundation, who expressed her frustration about the sector? And secondly, the issue of disability and the red lines, were you to be successful in the next election?
Yeah, so it's not for me to welcome or not the Taoiseach's apology to Charlotte. That's for her to decide herself. But what I do see, and we've seen this every single day during my own time in government, is people who work in care and professions, people with disabilities, people who have to bring their own children to the doll just to have a vindication of a basic service for a wheelchair, for example. And look, this is why we in the Social Democrats have made it very clear, right from the very off, before anyone else started talking about red lines, we made a deal breaker that unless we had a senior minister with responsibility for disabilities in the next government, we will not be part of it. The reason we made that call, it's not because we just want to put deal breakers on the table. It's because every single day we're hearing families of people who have disabilities who do not feel that they're being treated with respect by the state, by this government, be that in search of a speech and language therapist, be that in search of a therapist in the school, access to a special school, even where they exist. We feel strongly that a senior ministry responsibility for disabilities would be somehow be create a better pathway. So Roderick didn't have to go, we didn't have to determine on air if you have to go to the health minister, if you have to go to the children's minister, or if you have to go to the Department of Education. A senior minister with responsibility for disabilities is what we need. We needed it long before we started seeing a Taoiseach yesterday walk away from a person expressing their disappointment. And that for us is what we've seen every
day. And a senior minister for disabilities, just before, because we do have to, at the expense of which other ministry? Well, what would you get rid of?
A Department of Higher Education would make sense to come back in line with the Department of Education.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Still with us are Sinn Féin's Claire Curran running in the Roscommon Galway constituency in our Athlone studio. Independent Violet Ann Wynne running in Clare. Social Democrats Gary Gannon running in Dublin Central. Fine Gael's Neil Richmond running in Dublin Rathdown. The Green Party's Roderick O'Gorman running in Dublin West. And Fianna Fáil's Norma Foley running in Kerry. She's in our Ballinagall studio. Now, the cost of childcare has been prominent in this election. People have described it in the past as being like the cost of a second mortgage. The costs have come down, and most parties at this stage are promising a 10 euro per child per day cap or something similar. So I'll begin with you, Gary Gannon, on this particular issue. The capping of childcare is one thing that saves the cost to the parents, but the money that's provided to providers outside of that, what's the estimated cost of that in terms of meeting the difference?
Well, my party colleague and spokesperson on children, Jennifer Whitmore, has released a fully costed document how the Social Democrats will lay out our full plan as we reach that target. We actually released it before any other political party. It's available online, it's costed, it's there. But in terms of where the destination that we're trying to get to, we appreciate that we'd like to see the caps cost at a maximum of €250. But at the same time, in order to move towards publicly funded model, we need to acquire buildings. So we're saying €100 million per year going into purchasing buildings, and I've seen where it will be available in communities so we can purchase the type of infrastructure we need for that public model. Look, it's going to be paid for by true taxation. It's not a form of charity. But that's what separates the Social Democrats from, for example, Neil out there talking about lower taxes, vote Neil Richmond. I would never stand over that. This is not auction politics. Public services, childcare, paid for through your taxation is the best way to lower your cost of living. That's what the Social Democrats have always stood for.
Okay. And in terms of the private providers that are there at the moment, Norma Foley, I think the Ontario Teachers Pension Fund owns a number of childcare outlets in Ireland. At one point in 2019, they paid a €6.5 million dividend to shareholders and €1.5 million in 2020 when they were receiving a government subvention. So is the proposal in capping childcare care costs to continue to pay private providers to a level where they can pay dividends?
Well, there's two parts to the commitment from Fianna Fáil, and I would have to say at the outset, you know, that there has already across government been a commitment and an achievement of a 50% reduction in childcare fees. But I also want to say that, you know, we have to get to a point where it will no longer be a second mortgage for parents. So we are giving a commitment in Fianna Fáil to €50 per week or €200 per month. But we're also looking at the bigger picture, where you will have a combination of, you know, the private sector, but you will also have the public sector. So, for example, in my own area of education, we are committed, and it's in our manifesto, we are committed to ensuring that there will be accommodations made available in our schools, on our school campuses, which obviously will make it easier for parents. It will also be a pipeline for schools. So we are hugely committed to that. We're also committed to expanding the after-school clubs. I think that's hugely, hugely important to parents as well. And we're going a step further in relation to that, because oftentimes schools have felt where they might rent out, whether it's their sports hall or a classroom or whatever, any monies that they would gain would come against them in terms of grants from the Department of Education. We have confirmed, and I've issued the guidelines already to the schools, that will not be the case going
but
forward.
In terms of the funding cap that's going to be provided to parents and then the difference that public funds would have to be the difference that would have to be made up using public funds, will private providers still be reimbursed to the extent that they would be able to pay dividends of the order that we saw that the Ontario Teachers Pension Fund was able to do?
Well, we're not in a position at this point in time to have one model over another model. I think we have a combination where there's excellent services being provided by private providers. There's also excellent services being provided by community providers. So what we're looking for is a combination of the two, because at the end of the day, it's what best serves parents in terms of accessibility. And the greater the accessibility, the greater the opportunity for parents.
Okay,
but it's also about extending the school day. And it's about also making sure that, you know, those who work in the system are being appropriately paid. We've already had two wage agreements. We need to do more in that space.
I do need to get to other panellists. Violet Ann Wynne, the proposal to cap costs at €10 per child. What proposal do you support? And do you have a view, if you were to lend your support to any future government, as to what model you'd make that conditional on?
Yeah, thanks. It's something that I've had issues with myself, I suppose, even in terms of getting access to childcare facilities and spaces. And I've had an awful lot of parents who would be in the same situation, especially those who end up in emergency accommodation or, in fact, have to be displaced because of that. They're then facing 18 months worth of waiting list to be able to get a childcare space. So I think there is issues with capacity. And that's something that I suppose I've been raising for the last number of years. For me, the issue, and we've known this for the last number of years, is three-pronged. We have the staff who aren't being paid properly, we have the costs for the parents, and then we have also the providers who are, they feel, and that's what they've been reporting to me, they're being squeezed out of the market. They've had the historical fee freezes that has really put them to the pin to the collar, so to speak, I suppose, because they have rising costs of business as well on top of that. So I think, you know, with the way the investment has been done over the last 3 years in particular, for example, this year what is proposed will only see an increase to providers of 4 cents per child. So that's not going to make a massive difference. It's not going to keep their doors open.
Okay.
And that's quite disappointing, I have to say.
Roger O'Gorman, I think in your own constituency, there is serious pressure on parents who are looking for places, people having to travel around quite a bit, especially for younger children. But in terms of, you know, setting up a fully functioning and cheap, I suppose, an affordable childcare service, what's the government going to do in making up the difference between what the parent is paying and what the provider is getting? And do you see the government, how do you control the cost to the public funds of making up that difference?
Thanks, Owen. Well, I can speak to what this government has done and what the Green Party would do if we're part of the next government. We have been able to significantly reduce the cost of childcare for parents by our investment in the subsidy, the National Childcare Scheme. So, for example, for a family getting a full daycare, 45 hours a week, they were getting €22.50 support from the state per week at the start of this government. They're now getting €96 support per week. So that's money that's coming off their childcare bill and going back to those parents. So I've been able to massively invest in that subsidy scheme. That's saving parents money, and that's going to allow for all political parties make the next steps forward in terms of saving money. But I think the big discussion, I think we're probably all in agreement here for the next government, is that issue of capacity. And I see the state stepping in as a public provider alongside community providers, alongside
how do you avoid if the state is providing a public childcare system with all the pay scales and terms and conditions, how do you avoid a situation where they simply recruit from the existing private facilities and you end up with a capacity issue in the private sector?
We have to raise childcare professional wages for all staff, be they in a public provider, be they in a community provider, or be they in a private provider. And we've set out an allocation of €30 million each year so we can raise the pay of all childcare professionals. We need to work towards alignment with other educators. That's the only way we can enhance recruitment and retention. And just to finish, like, the initiatives that were taken on reducing childcare costs, they weren't within the programme for government. Those were an issue the Green Party and I as Minister identified, and we fought for them and we delivered them over the last 3 years.
Claire Curran, I suppose the same question in effect to you. People are going to cap the costs to parents, but in terms of protecting public funding so that the difference the government is paying to the existing private providers outside of that to make up the difference, how do you propose to control the exposure of the taxpayer to that?
Yeah, so the first thing we would do, and as per our childcare plan, our first commitment in terms of core funding is a full review. We know that core funding has worked for some providers, others have left. We know data has been shared with the department in terms of those providers that say they are struggling with the fee freeze, but that data hasn't been shared with us. So we need a full review of core funding in terms of transparency and value for money to make sure it's actually working. But two more important points, Colm, I think, is we hear consistently childcare costs are down, we've reduced cost by 50%. We know from a survey in April, I think it was the Irish Independent that published it, there are parents in the state still paying between up to 12 and 1500 euro a month for childcare. In County Roscommon, average costs about 600 to 800 a month. So childcare costs are still not down enough. They're still not affordable. And my last point in terms of our early years educators, and again, we hear about these two pay agreements. The last pay rise for our early years educators was 65 cents. It took 14 months to negotiate. And in terms of some providers, they have the rooms, they have the physical space, but they are not able to staff them. We're committed to the €1.50 initial increase for early years educators that SIPTU have been looking for, and then pay increases year on year, because we have to give certainty that to that sector. They're leaving, they're becoming SNAs, they're going into education, to primary school. We need our early years educators, and if we're going to keep them, we need to pay them properly. All and right. That's not happened to date.
Okay, Neil Richmond, that point that Claire Curran is making there, the Taoiseach says, or your party leader says that he wanted to set up a public arm of the childcare system as well. How do you avoid a situation where the same thing doesn't happen in that service as has happened with people leaving to become SNAs, that effectively people leave the private sector and that no additional capacity is created?
Excellent. Well, two things, Mayor. Firstly, thank Gary for reminding the people that if they vote for me, there will be less taxation and more money back in their pocket to pay for a lot more things. And that's a political difference. But we also have committed... Thanks, Gary. We also have committed to an €860 million childcare plan, fully costed. And you've asked for a lot of numbers there from other people who haven't given the exact, no, Roderick has, in fairness, but others have talked about it. But let's talk about how we get increased pay. In our system, we do need public state intervention in childcare. We do need that to access the lack of places. I come at this, obviously, as a dad of a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, but married to a Montessori teacher who's had to leave the profession because exactly for that reason, for the pay there. And we have a system whereby we're committing, firstly, €194 million over the 5 years to get down to that €200 cap, but additionally, €260 million of core funding to the private providers. We need both. We need to have a complementary system. Let's not get lost in the ideology. Parents need to know that they'll have cheaper, more flexible childcare, that they'll be able to get a place and not be panicking once they've had the 12-week scan. And we need our providers to stay open. And thankfully, we've seen less and less providers closing down. And we have the opportunity now, because of the means and because of the economy, going to invest in a way that will be sustainable. Right.
But,
and bring
but
us forward.
Are you happy with the situation where, when the state was paying COVID supports to childcare providers, that one childcare provider, the one that said the the childcare provider that's owned by the Ontario Teachers Pension Fund, that, that entity was able to pay dividends effectively off the back of a state subvention. I mean, are you happy with a situation like that, that people would be subsidised to that degree?
No, what I want is a situation whereby our childcare workers, who are looking after the most precious commodity in society, are paid a good, decent wage. We can achieve that. We've made moves. But equally, it's more than just about the salary. It's about making sure that a Montessori teacher doesn't have to sign on to job seekers every June. It's making sure that they have increments, that they have pensions. We will achieve that through a base system. One, through a state-led direct provision of childcare. We have the aim to set up 100 new facilities within 2 years of government, and equally moving along and negotiating, and the funds are there to make sure that the private sector agrees with it, because we can't just shut down the private sector overnight. We need to have a twin track here.
Colm, just to say, the Sinn Féin plan is fully costed. Yeah, it was published in September at $600 million, and that includes $200 million of a contingency fund. It's nice, after 14 years in government, Fine Gael now are talking about a public model. They've had 14 years in government, cost is still too high, there's a lack of capacity, and our educators are not being paid properly.
Okay, Roderick O'Gorman.
I think the legal right to the 2 years of the ECCE scheme is really important, because that will force whatever government is in next to actually deliver those places in the same way that they have to deliver primary and secondary school places. The majority of parents use ECCE right now, but it's not there as of a legal right, and that's central to the Green Party's commitment.
Right, Gary Gannon, briefly.
I'll
let you back in a moment, Norman Foley. I was going to get to Gary Gannon, and I'll bring you back in.
We've all seen this film before in terms of offering massive public services, but then say you'll erode the tax base. I mean, we've seen this before. We know how it is. We're talking about public services paid for through the taxpayer. You're talking about public services paid for through a tax base that you're going to erode.
No, it's not.
It does not work.
Well, see, Gary, this is where we look to the economics. And just as a really key point, just as per rebuttal column, Fine Gael have been in power for 14 years, and they've grown the tax base every year. We have records. VAT corporation
income. I want to get back to Norma Foley, and I want to bring in Violet and in. Norma Foley, to you on this.
Yeah, just to clarify, like, there are a number of components to this. There's appropriate availability for places, which we are committed to. There's the increase in the core funding. And then there's also, for example, we know that there are some places where the need is greater than another. So we have committed in our manifesto to conducting a national audit to identify areas where there is insufficient supply. We will provide a dedicated capital allocation to build new childcare facilities.
The state agency that delivers funding for childcare services, did a survey and said that 51% of childcare services surveyed reported they had vacant places over a period spanning 2022 to 2023. So a survey has been done.
There are dedicated areas where there is a very distinct lack of childcare places, and we're saying we will provide dedicated funding, a capital funding, to either buy or to build appropriate childcare facilities, which then can be leased to community childcare or whatever.
We're going to take a break. We're back. We're going to look at the issue of child and adolescent mental health services after this.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Tony usually hates her morning commute, but something is different today. Tony has a grin brimming from ear to ear and an uncontrollable urge to tap her toes. You see, she just switched to 48 Mobile, so she now gets unlimited data for $12.99 a month and feels like the smuggest person on the bus. 48 Mobile. Good call. T's and C's apply. See 48.ie. $12.99 one-time activation fee. Unlimited data applies to ROI only. Subject to coverage.
For one day only. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Don't miss out. 50% off.
Buy now, pay later.
To start an addiction.
Everything must go.
Some offers are hard to resist, and it's easy to spend more than we bargained for. Let us help you plan before you shop. With tools and information on consumer rights and different types of credit. Visit ccpc.ie/shopsmart. From the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission.
Enjoy real savings this Christmas at Super Value. Like Super Value Fresh Irish Lamb Leg, now half price. Scan your card or app and get selected Fairy, Purcell, Velvet, Bolt and Aerial ranges, any two for €16. And until Sunday, Graham Norton Sauvignon Blanc wine case deal, now €50. Share the magic this Christmas with Super Value. Enjoy alcohol responsibly. Customer quotas apply.
On RTE.ie this weekend.
Jason Power on why Irish undersea cables are seen as potential military targets. In sport, follow Ireland's test match against Fiji on Saturday with our live blog, report and player ratings. In Brainstorm, Ruth McCullough on how exercise can help older people overcome a fear of falling. And in Lifestyle, Aideen Fitzmaurice shares her pick of the best Irish food products to buy this Christmas. All this and the very best of the week's stories.
RTE.ie. Discover more.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Now, according to figures provided to a Dáil debate in July 2024, the number of children waiting on child and adolescent mental health service that are on the waiting list is 3,393 at that point. That was down 900 from a year and a half previous to that. Now, Niall Muldoon is the Children's Ombudsman. He took part in a review that was carried out by the Mental Health Commission, and he said the review said the Commission can't provide an assurance to all parents in Ireland that their children have access to safe, effective and evidence-based mental health services. The review recommended regulation of CAMHS by the Mental Health Commission, and Niall Muldoon said no progress has been made on that recommendation in the past 12 months. He said that in June 2024. Claire Curran, to you on this. What's your proposal for bringing down the waiting lists, and realistically, when would that be delivered by?
So just in terms of what's been said there in regulating CAMHS, you'll know Sinn Féin introduced legislation to regulate CAMHS. It was one of the 49 recommendations by the Mental Health Commission. It's really important that we do that first and foremost, and it should have been done. In terms of building capacity, we need to build capacity in terms of our CAMHS, particularly in our community. We need a workforce plan to make sure that we staff every single CAMHS in the state properly. That's not happening. And we also need to look at the Sinn Féin proposal for a job guarantee. We have psychologists and therapists who are coming out. They would like to go into an area like CAMHS. There aren't full contracts there. We need to give them a job guarantee to hold them rather than leaving them to immigrate. But I think it's really important, first and foremost, that we look at the regulation of CAMHS, that we look at removing that postcode lottery that exists, and to bring down wait times for CAMHS. We know that waiting lists are up 80% in CAMHS since this government took office. So it is about building capacity, and it is about building capacity in terms of our CAMHS in our communities right across the state. We need to look at Jigsaw as well. We need to look at crisis intervention teams in our emergency departments and in our primary care centres. Sinn Féin published a mental health plan. It was on the back of international as well as national stakeholder engagement. Plan is there. And it is
in the area of CAMHS, there's, I think, one in five consultant posts around the country are vacant. In CAMHS, the issue, the area, I think the vacancy rate is one in three. So do you have a specific targeted proposal to get psychiatrists into this particular area?
Well, it is about that job guarantee column. It's about an absolute contract if you go into a role with wherever it is, including in CAMHS, because what's happening is healthcare professionals are qualifying and they cannot get out of the country quick enough. They don't want to work in our health service. So that job guarantee makes sure that they have a proper contract and that they can be retained. And that is the best way to retain them, rather than people in jobs, including our therapists and psychologists, that don't have permanent contracts and that see no way or pathway to career progression. And then they are leaving the state.
Okay. Roderick O'Gorman, the regulation of child and adolescent mental health services by the Mental Health Commission, the Ombudsman for Children clearly expressing his frustration on that and the stubbornly high waiting lists. How at this point in the life of a government has that not been done? Specifically the issue of regulation, which is a matter of legislation, not recruitment. Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly something that I'll look to address within the mental health amendment legislation that's come through the Dáil already on initial stages and will be completed by the next Oireachtas. I think there's a strong case for that degree of oversight that the Mental Health Commission could give.
The call was made by the Mental Health Commission in July 2023.
Yeah, I know, and there are different views within government about how that should be progressed.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
I think we should see the child and adolescent mental health services regulated by the Mental Health Commission.
And who doesn't want to see that?
Well, look, that's for other parties to set out their views in terms of how that gets advanced. But on the issue of a consultant-led approach to CAMHS, and in particular, that was a key recommendation of the Maskey report that looked at the situation in South Kerry last year. I think the consultant, the public-only consultant contract is going to be really useful there in terms of making those positions attractive, giving people considering taking up those key roles that long-term permanency that will make taking up CAMHS roles all over the country. And we know there's a regional disparity there. So I think that's really important as well. And just on the final point, I'd actually agree with what Claire said in terms of the importance of early intervention, and particularly Jigsaw. That's a service that supports young people before they get to a crisis situation. And we certainly, in our manifesto, the Green Party highlights investment in that early intervention element as hugely important.
Okay, I just want to get a response there from Neil Richmond on that. What Roderick O'Gorman was saying there, Neil Richmond, implies that while the Green Party is in favour of regulation of child and adolescent mental health services by the Mental Health Commission, the other parties in government weren't in favour of that.
I don't know if I get that implication, but what we've made quite clear is...
Well, he said he's in favour of it, and he said there were differences in government about that. So the implication is that, when you remove the Green Party, logically the only two partners in government left are Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So what was your position,
Well, government also includes the permanent government, but the point is quite clear, and to your exact point, we've said that this is a matter within the Mental Health Bill, which has got through early stages. There are robust discussions about whether this is applicable. We've taken those into all account, and when we get to the next stages, which I'd hope we'd all...
Let me just clarify. Did you mean the permanent government, or did you mean other parties in government, Roderick O'Gorman?
My recollection from when this was discussed was that there were institutional resistance to this particular change, and I think having that level of oversight that the Mental Health Commission provides to these frontline services would be hugely beneficial. I agree with the position of the Children's Ombudsman.
Okay, Neil Richmond, sorry, continue there, and if you could address the issue of the waiting list there, the 3,393 children on CAMHS waiting lists, who clearly are in serious need of help, particularly in areas like seeking help for eating disorders where there's specialist care needed.
Absolutely, and any child on a waiting list for too long a period is too long. 94% are obviously seen within a quick period, but we need to continue to work to bring these down, and they are coming down thanks to record investment in mental health. But one thing we've said, so we can all talk about our medium and long-term vision, but in the short term, it is using the private assessments in order to get the people seen as quickly as possible. And we've allocated increased funds to make sure people can get that assessment and get them into the system. Because when someone who needs mental health supports in our country needs it, when they get into the system, it's one of the best systems in the world, but it's getting them into the system that is a blockage. And we acknowledge that, but we know that work is going through into that. And that's why we had a mental health budget increased by over 140 million last year.
Okay. Gary Gannon, the waiting lists have come down by 900 in a year and a half. Is it going in the right direction, and what would you do better?
Well, it's clearly not going in the direction that we want, given so many people on the waiting list remain still. In terms of what the Social Democrats are calling that we do better, establish a national workforce planning task force to address both the short-term and the medium-term needs of the health and social care sector. Look, we also need to bring people into the profession. We need to create pathways for people to get into counselling and psychotherapy professions. We need to be looking at, from my perspective, to further education, the feed tech courses by which we can link in greater routes into universities. There's a lot of people I meet every day in my communities who actually want to be in the care professions but actually can't get in to be either therapists, nurses, because they're blocked from accessing the university courses. We need better pathways into those professions.
Okay. Norma Foley, just to address, I suppose, Fianna Fáil's position on the regulation of child and adolescent mental health services, would you like to see them brought under the Mental Health Commission? Was there, to your knowledge, any resistance from your party to that?
No, we've given an absolute commitment that we will legislate to regulate CAMHS as part of the new Mental Health Bill, which has been brought forward actually by Minister Mary Butler, and we've given an absolute commitment there. And I also just want to acknowledge, and I know we can talk about the numbers coming down, and that's obviously progress, but any one child is one child too many on the system, and it's a huge trauma to parents as they try to access. So what we're saying as well, in reference, has been made to early intervention. So for the first time in education, I've introduced counselling services in primary schools, and we're rolling that out. It's our intention to roll that out nationally. And also in terms of Jigsaw, we are also bringing Jigsaw into the schools at post-primary level to roll out a NARTH programme, a strengthening programme to support staff and again to support students. So early intervention is hugely important here. And indeed, the increase in the mental health budget has been significant. It's a 43% increase of 1.4 billion. But it should never be a question of money.
We're up against the clock. I want to get to Violet Anne Wynne on this. Just on the issue of reducing the waiting list in child and adolescent mental health services, do you support the, I suppose, the regulation of CAMHS, first of all, and what would you like to see done about the waiting lists?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, regulation is hugely important here, and it's been called for the last number of years, and so I support the Ombudsman as well in respect of who would oversee that regulation. I think that's hugely important. But look, why are we here? I suppose is the simple fact of the matter. Donnelly did promise more CAMHS teams, more CAMHS hubs, and more dual diagnosis as well. And then an embargo was brought in. So that's what kind of tied the hands of everything, because all those posts were not filled. I know, for example, our hub is only 60% staffed currently. And I know that our region, the Midwest region, was a complete black spot in respect of a CAMHS team with a specialised eating disorder team and services there. And we know that there's only 3 inpatient beds for the whole entire country in respect of that. And I mean, the stats are dire for those with eating disorders. And we know that that's the most dangerous, I suppose, mental illness that we can have. It's the highest mortality rate. And 41% do find themselves readmitted after 2 years, because when they do go into hospital services, they actually have no access to a therapist after they are discharged. 83% don't.
Okay, we are up against the clock, and we are up against the clock, and I'm afraid we do have to leave it there. If anyone is affected by any of the issues we discussed in that latter section on child and adolescent mental health services, they can go to rte.ie/helplines. We did mention a couple of other candidates who aren't with us today, so you can go to rte.ie/constituencies if you do want to see who else is running in the various constituencies, all 43 of them around the country. My thanks to all my guests who joined us both here in studio and remotely today. Our team today, Mary Elizabeth Bruton was our broadcast coordinator. Research was by Niamh Dunn. Ruth Kennington was on sound, and the programme was produced by Grace Waller and our series producer, Regina Henley. I'm back on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock on RT Radio 1 with the late debate, but up here next on RT Radio 1, it's Saturday Sport.